this is Greg Little from Bethany Baptist Church. I'm so thankful that you decided to join us on this podcast. I trust that the Lord will use it in your life to encourage you, strengthen you, and challenge you wherever you are in your walk with Him. For more information about Bethany, you can visit us online at bethanybc.ca. And now let's open our hearts and minds to what the Lord has for us.
Take your Bibles with me and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We're going to start reading in verse number 1 and read all the way down to verse number 20. One of the greatest passages in Scripture on the resurrection and the importance of the resurrection. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, is the importance of the resurrection. And so Paul writes this, starting in 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse number 1. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." We'll stop our reading there this morning. Now, as I was getting ready for my message this morning, I saw these sitting in my office. Does anyone have any idea what those are? Those are not eggs from our breakfast downstairs. I didn't take any of those, and I guess they'd be pretty colorful if those were our eggs for breakfast downstairs, but I saw them sitting there on my shelf, and they've been there for a long time, but they reminded me a lot of when my kids were much younger. And these are called resurrection eggs. I don't know if you can see that on there, but they're all a different color, and the whole thing is called resurrection eggs. And so what we would do when our kids were younger is we would go through, starting about, there's 12 of them, so starting 12 days before Resurrection Sunday, and we would open a different one every day, and there would be something in that egg that would signify a different part of the story, a different part of the Easter account. So we would start, and remember, our kids were pretty small at the time, and so we would take a turn, each one of them opening a different egg every day. And so we would open them up, and for example, the first one, I don't know if you can see that or not, that's a little donkey. And that, of course, signifies when Jesus rode on the donkey into town and they cried out, "Hosanna," and laid out the palm leaves. And the palm leaves were probably more like the ones I showed you on Friday that they laid out. And so we would go through each one of these different eggs, and there was all sorts of different things in there. There's some coins. that Judas betrayed Jesus for some coins, some silver coins. There's a spear, there's some nails, there's a linen cloth that they laid on Jesus as they put him in the tomb. There's a pebble on the 11th day that signified the stone that was rolled in front of the door. And that was a lot of fun. Each one of these days, we'd open up one of those eggs and we'd spend some time looking at scripture where that specific thing was mentioned, and we talk about it a little bit. And I remember we got to the last day, and the last day is this white egg. And I think, if I remember correctly, it was the first time we had done this. I think it was Seth Stern to open up the egg on this day. And everyone always enjoyed opening up the eggs and seeing what was inside. And he picked it up, and it was a little lighter than all the other ones. And they always kind of shook it to see what was inside. But you'll notice as I shake that, there's no noise in there. And I was just thinking of how he picked up this egg and he opened it up, and it was empty. And of course, he was a little younger, a lot younger at the time, and he was kind of frustrated because he wanted to find something inside the egg that everybody else found inside the egg. And he opened it up, and there was no toy in there. No, not a toy necessarily. You know what I mean? There was nothing in there. And we explained to him that was the whole point of the resurrection story. That the tomb was empty, that they opened that grave, they came to the grave, the stone was rolled away, and the grave was empty. There was no one in there anymore. And I imagine maybe Seth felt a little bit like the disciples did when they visited that tomb that first resurrection morning and they saw it empty. There's all sorts of questions going through their mind. They wondered, Did Jesus really raise from the dead? Is he really alive? Is there maybe something else that happened? And if that tomb is empty, what does that mean for me? What is the significance of that? And Paul tells us, we read it here in 1 Corinthians 15, what the empty tomb means, of the importance of the empty tomb. Because the tomb is empty, Jesus is alive. Because the tomb is empty, there is hope, Paul said. We are no longer in our sins. We are not, of all men, most miserable. We have joy and hope and peace. We are not still in our sins. Our faith is not vain. Because the tomb is empty, our faith is not empty. We have hope. The empty tomb reveals to us this morning the power and the faithfulness of God, the extent that he went to bring us to himself. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the foundation of everything else we believe, of everything that we do. I'm aware that even in today's society, there are people that question the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The empty tomb is a fact that is questioned and mocked and ridiculed in our day and age. In an increasingly atheistic society and secular society that is turning further and further away from any roots it might have had in Christianity, and in a worldview around us and a world system that has become as much anti-God and anti-Christ as I have ever seen, these facts, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, is one that is questioned more and more and more. And I think this questioning really takes place on two different levels. The first level is the question of truth, and that is this: did the resurrection of Jesus Christ really happen? Was he actually a real person that died, was buried, and rose again? And we've been looking. We won't spend really any time answering that question because we spent a lot of time there over our last couple of Sunday nights. There's really no fact in all of history that is much attested to as the reality of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And so there's the question of truth. But then secondly, and this is maybe we'll spend some more time this morning, there is the question of meaning or relevance. Okay, so if Jesus really rose from the dead, then what does that mean for me? Why does it matter? What is the point? And so I want to answer that question this morning and spend some time looking at the importance of the resurrection. I think there are a few things, and there are many things that we could look at this morning, but we'll just look at a few reasons that we can rejoice in and be encouraged in the empty tomb. There's some things here that ought to cause us to rejoice when we think of the empty tomb. A few things. First of all, there's the proof of salvation. One of the stores that we shop in, probably more than any other store. In fact, we were just there yesterday again. I find we have a big family, so we spend a lot of time at the store. You probably know what it is already, but it's Costco. And we spend a lot of time there and bulking up and buying things for our family that we seem to go through so quickly. And those of you that have been there know what the process is, right? To go out the doors. You get your stuff in your cart, you pay for it, you take the cart to the door, and what do you have to do at the door? You have to have your receipt, right? And you have to show it to them as you go out the door. And that receipt that you hold in your hand is the proof that you bought everything that's in your cart, right? It validates those things that you have in your shopping cart. You can take them out of the store because of that little piece of paper in your hand. And really, that piece of paper is not very valuable, but it is valuable. It becomes valuable because it validates that you bought everything that is in that cart. It's the proof that you need to exit the store with those items. It's valuable because it shows, yes, I bought these things and now I can go. Well, the resurrection is the proof. The resurrection validated the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And really, the resurrection provided ultimate credibility to who Jesus was. Romans 1, verses 3 and 4 say this, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And notice, and declared to be the Son of God with power. How do we know? How is he declared to be the Son of God with power? It goes on to say, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection proved his claims. They validated who he was and what his message was. That he would do what he said he would, that he was who he said he was. And you say, well, what did Jesus say? What were his claims? John 11 and verse 25, and speaking to Martha, Jesus said this, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. In John chapter 2 and verse 19, he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days again, I will build it up. John tells us just a couple of verses later that when he said that, what he was referring to was his body, that he would die, and 3 days later, he would rise from the dead. You look through the scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, and other people have risen from the dead. Jesus was not the only one that was raised from the dead. In fact, I just referenced John chapter 11. It's a beautiful chapter. You go through and read that account of how Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He peeled back the stone and said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus was raised from the dead. There were others in the New Testament that were raised by the dead. Some by Jesus, some by the apostles. But only one of them claimed that he was going to do it. Only one made the claim to be the resurrection and the life. And the fact that Jesus did claim that he was going to rise from the dead, and then he did that, he was resurrected from the dead, that claim authenticates and validates all his other claims as well. His claim to be God. his claim to be the only way to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, if Jesus wasn't reliable in his claim to the resurrection, none of his other claims would be reliable as well. But the resurrection was the proof. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, but now is, in verse number 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of all them that slept. He did rise from the dead, and therefore, because Jesus rose from the dead, it gives all of his promises reliability. Because his claim to rise from the dead was validated, because it was proved by the resurrection, so all his promises are validated. Jesus was who he said he was. He would do what he said he would do. You say, so what did he promise us then? Well, he promised us that all that come to him, he will in no wise cast out. He said he was the resurrection and the life, that whosoever believeth in me shall never die. Those claims are true because of the resurrection. We can take him at his word, and we can come to him for our salvation and be sure of it. Resurrection proved it. Because Christ rose from the dead, he secured victory over sin and death and the grave, and opened a way of salvation, of knowing God for all people in all places. His death, his sacrifice was enough. You know, just as you can leave the store and be confident as you go that you can leave the store because you have your receipt, so you too can be confident this morning that God will allow you into entrance into his presence into heaven because of the receipt, which is Jesus's resurrection. You can be confident of it. His resurrection is the proof that he has paid in full the price for your forgiveness, and that his form of payment has been accepted. The resurrection proves it. You know, the truth is, most of the time you don't keep all of your receipts after you buy something, right? Maybe some of you do. Maybe you don't keep all of your smaller receipts. Paper receipts mean little because of the value of what we have bought. If you have the receipt to a deed to your home, you keep it because it's valuable. But the little receipts, maybe not. The resurrection is the receipt that all of our sins have been paid for in full on the cross. That's the kind of receipt, that's the kind of truth we're holding on to closely. Secondly, you'll see the resurrection gives power over sin. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 13, Paul says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Look at verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Paul is saying if Christ had not been raised from the dead, then we are still in our sins. But the flip side is true as well. If Christ has been raised from the dead, then we are not still in our sins. We don't need to be in our sins. We can have victory over sin. We can have power over sin. No, power over sin, victory over sin in our own strength is an exercise in futility. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ, the new life that he provides to believers, enables us to live in victory over the power of sinful flesh as we reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ. The Bible says this from Romans 6, verses 6 and 7, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And the point is this, because of the resurrection of Jesus, because of the empty tomb, because Jesus had victory over sin and death and the graves, we are no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer bound to it. The chains of death and sin have been broken. We can have victory day by day as we live by faith. Listen, because Jesus rose from the dead, sin no longer has to have dominion over you. There's victory. Listen, this is an amazing thought. You don't have to struggle with sin anymore. There is victory because of Jesus' victory. You don't have to struggle with shame and guilt and regrets over past decisions or past sins because Jesus took all that on himself. He paid for it completely and he rose from the dead, giving power over sin. Power over sin is not only a possibility in your life, it can be an everyday experience because of the resurrection. Why Paul says later in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54, he says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, because of the resurrection this morning, you can have victory in your life over sin. There's no more sting in it. There's victory. Reminds me of the boy that was driving with his father in the early spring, and the windows were down, it was warming up, and a bumblebee flew into the car. Have you ever had that experience? The problem was the boy was quite allergic to bee stings. And so obviously as that bee flew into the car, the boy was terrified. He was petrified. He began to scream and to cry out. If that bee stung him, it could be life-threatening. It could be fatal. Knowing that, his father reached out and he grabbed the bee in his hands, squeezed it a little, and then released it. As soon as the boy saw that he had released the bee, he became terrified again and started crying all over again. The father just reached out his hand to the boy, but this time he pointed to his hand and he said, you see that little stinger there? Said, you see that? You don't need to be afraid anymore because I've taken the sting for you. The truth is, Jesus has taken the sting of death and sin. You don't need to be afraid of death or subject to sin because Jesus has taken the sting. He's given us victory. He's given us power over sin. Thirdly, the resurrection gives us purpose for serving. Think about this, because the resurrection of our resurrection life in Christ, we are connected with the Lord. His Holy Spirit indwells us. Jesus told his disciples, he said, it is expedient for you that I go away. He says, it's better for you that I am leaving. I don't think the disciples really understood that at first. How could that be better? How could it possibly be better than having Jesus physically with them at all times? How could it be better that Jesus goes away than to have him with them all the time? Isn't it the best possible case to have the very presence of Jesus with them? But Jesus said, it's better that I go away because when I go, I'm sending the Spirit. When Jesus left, he sent the Spirit that is not just with us, but the Spirit that is in us. That's why it was better, the Spirit that would come and comfort and reprove the world and guide us into truth and illumine God's word to us and help us live the Christian life because Jesus left, because he died, was buried, and rose again the third day from the dead. We are partakers of his divine nature. We have the Spirit indwelling us, within us. As a songwriter, we sang it, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. Jesus is always with us. The resurrection means this, that Christ is in me and around me and with me and working through me, that I have his presence. He will never leave me nor forsake me. The resurrection guarantees the presence of Jesus in our life. See, when you're feeling alone, feeling anxious as you're facing difficulty that you can't even begin to understand, maybe there's fear or anxiety or hopelessness. Maybe there's questioning, wondering where my provision is going to come from and where the way out of this issue is. We're feeling all alone. The truth is this, he is there with you. He is in you. Why? Because he is a living Savior. He's alive. It means that I have a context for my life. I have a purpose. I have meaning. It's not just about, you know, these 50, 60, 70 years I have left. It's about eternity and living my life with that in view. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I have a purpose in my life. And then let me say this, finally, because of the resurrection, I have the promise of security. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, we've read it already in verse number 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. I love the analogy that Paul uses here of the first fruits. In Jewish culture, in that system, they would bring their first fruits to the Lord. As the crops began to grow, they would bring the very best, the very first, to the Lord as an offering. And for a couple of reasons, I think because it was an expression of thanksgiving for the harvest, but also not only was it an expression of thanksgiving, it was also an expression of trust. As we bring him the first, we understand I can give the Lord the first because I understand that there's more yet to come. And so I'm thanking him for the harvest, but it's also, I give it to him understanding that there's still more. I can give him this because there's more to come. And Paul is saying, yes, there is death, but there is more to come. The wages of sin is death, and death is everywhere around us. We're reminded of it over and over again. You know, the Bible is filled with long lists of names. And with every list of names, you see something like this. He lived this long and he died. He lived this long and he died. He lived this long and he died. And over again through those lists, it's he died, he died, he died, he died, he died. Echoing throughout time and history, a continual familiar sense of death. Our years are chiseled under our tombstones. A testament of the result of sin and the power of death. He died, he died, he died over and over again until we get to Jesus. And for the very first time, there's a tomb that says he died, but he came back again. Paul says the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the past can only mean one thing, that Jesus is the one appointed by God through whom all things will be made right. He is the King who conquered everything, who conquered death and sin and the grave. He is the King who has come to overturn the curse of death forever. He is the King who has come to sweep away all of our sorrow and tears, all of the painful consequences of sin due to the sin of Adam or Saul, due to the righteousness of Jesus. Because Jesus rose, we who know him as our Savior are guaranteed that we will rise too. I think it's fitting that it's spring. Maybe some of you have little flowers like this that are just starting to poke their head through the ground. I don't know. I'm sure the sun today and tomorrow will help those things come up in the warmth. The snow has melted for now anyways. The sun is finally peeking through the clouds. I love the warmth of the sun this time of year. It just seems to warm everything up. You can feel, there's just that feeling in the air that the darkness of winter has ended, right? There's something different coming. There is hope ahead. Those little sprouts of green coming through the ground tell us that there's something more coming. And as we see them, we know this, that greener times are coming. The cold and the dark are ended. Something better is coming. Friends, Jesus' resurrection tells us that death's cold, dark reign has ended. Jesus was the first fruits. And because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is hope that better times are coming. Greater times are coming. You know, I don't know much about what tomorrow holds for you or for me, but I am profoundly grateful this morning that no matter what bumps lie in the way, the truth about my future involves an eternity forever with Jesus Christ. Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moments, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortality must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptible, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the final answer to the question, the age-old question that's asked starting in Job 14, verse 14, where they asked, "If a man die, shall he live again?" The resurrection, the cry to that question on the resurrection morning, the empty tomb cried out, "Yes, yes, he shall live again. Because he lives, we shall live. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow." We sang that just a minute ago. We can face our darkest tomorrows knowing that Christ has removed the sting of death and sin. Death is only a shadow of its former self. See, the empty tomb is all the proof that we need that Jesus will keep his word, that death and sin are defeated, that we can know God and be brought into relation with him, that he dwells within us, empowers us day after day, and has guaranteed us eternal life because he has risen. Because he lives, so can we. In John chapter 11, We mentioned this already. Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life." And then he turns to her and he asks her a vital question, a question that we must ask ourselves this morning as well. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And he turns to Martha and says, "Believest thou this?" He said, "Do you believe it? Do you believe that I'm the resurrection and the life?" And I love Martha's answer. She says, "Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world." She said, "Yes, I believe that." And then Jesus demonstrated his power by raising Lazarus from the dead. He was the resurrection and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. The question this morning is simply this: do you believe it? Do you believe that he is the resurrection and the life? See, as we come together this Easter Sunday, this resurrection morning, these are not just empty words. There is a truth in them, and they are life-changing words. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we have life. Because he lives, so do we. We can face tomorrow. We can do all of these things because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What hope we have.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. My prayer is that God would use the preaching of his word in your life in a special way. If there's any way that we can be a help to you, please feel free to reach out at bibcinfo@gmail.com. Or if you're in the area, you're always welcome to come join us in worshiping the Lord together every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and Wednesday at 6:30. May the Lord bless you today.